I'm John Kroll. Coming up on No Limits, we'll talk about the Super Bowl. A year from now, Indianapolis will be hosting one of the biggest events in sports. We'll discuss what the Super Bowl will mean for the city and how ready we are for the big event, particularly if we get hit with another winter storm like the one that landed this week. We'll talk about this with community leaders, lovers of football, and you. You can join the conversation by calling us toll-free at 1-866-476-3881, emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending us questions or comments via Facebook and Twitter at WFYI. Please do join this discussion about Indianapolis's chance to shine on one of the biggest stages in sports. But first, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We are talking today about one of the biggest events in sports, the Super Bowl. We're delighted to have as our guests Allison Melancton, who is chairman, or chair, I should say, of the host committee, Bob Lamy, longtime voice of the Indianapolis Colts, and at the moment, Joe Bowling, who is with the Bonner Community Center and the Super Bowl Legacy Project. All of you, welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Well, Allison, I know your time is limited. You're calling us from Dallas, are you not?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, so I think I'm going to start by directing most of the conversation your way. I'm going to invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Or sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You also can send comments or questions via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Allison, could you talk a little bit about, first, about what the Super Bowl is going to mean for the city of Indianapolis and for central Indiana, why this is such a prize for the city?
Well, Indianapolis, as we know, has been hosting sporting events for 30 years, and we've established a great foundation, and I feel like it's sort of all leading to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl will be the biggest event that we've had yet to date and hosted in Indy, and part of the reason for that is just the length of the event itself. Really, the official activities go on for 10 days, and there's a four-day concentration there at the end, but really the event is over 10 days, which is longer than most typical events, and also the number of events the Super Bowl brings with it in addition to just the game. So I think it's going to have a significant impact on Indianapolis, and we're excited that we're just a year away now.
What are some of the, you talk about the other events that it brings alongside the game. What are some of those?
There's an event called the NFL Experience, which will actually run 10 days long. It will be in the Indiana Convention Center, the old portion, and also the new recently completed construction addition. And that event is for people of all ages. Children all the way through elderly will really enjoy it. I'm in Texas, as you mentioned, and I spent several hours at the NFL Experience yesterday, and I know it's going to be a great thing to bring to Indy, and it will really be something that our residents and community can enjoy.
What have you, since you are down in Texas, and I gather they're seeing some stuff that they're not on the ground that they're not used to seeing down there, namely white stuff that is snow and,
yeah,
and ice. What lessons have you picked up from watching how Dallas is handled getting ready for this game that might be useful as we do the planning for next year?
Well, particularly the weather. I feel very bad for the Dallas and Texas host committee down here. They've worked very hard for 3 years, and to have an ice storm come in like this, which is incredibly unusual in Texas, that caused a lot of cancellation of events as the schools were closed, and the Super Bowl brings with it lots of great youth activities through school systems and clinics and so forth, and unfortunately, those events had to be canceled here in Texas. Indianapolis, in February, we are used to colder weather with ice, and so we've taken a lot of notes down here on things that if we did have an ice storm that we would need to enact and change. We have a great weather plan in place, but to actually be here and experience what Texas has gone through for the last 2 days, I think is a benefit to us.
What sorts of things would you change, having seen it?
I would probably probably change the way that people were notified on event cancellations. I mean, literally the city was shut down on Tuesday and part of Wednesday. People weren't going to work and so forth. So the internet was how everyone was getting information on whether or not events were on or off. And it took a little while to get the information up, which then I think caused a lot of phone calls. So just little things like that, making sure we're communicating as quickly as possible to the public who's curious and had plans and events that they were going to do, and trying to get the word out through as many media channels as possible and as quickly as possible what events were still occurring.
Bob Lamy, when we were off the air, you were mentioning that one of the things we've seen by watching what's gone on down in North Texas, that in many ways Indianapolis is much better positioned to be ready for something like this than a Sunbelt city would be.
I grew up in Texas and went to school at TCU in Fort Worth, and we had some weather, and I understand it's so much more difficult down there to deal with. Here, my wife and I got out today for the first time. This was our choosing. I didn't have to be anywhere, so I decided to stay home. I'm not amazed. I'm very pleasantly pleased with the fact the roads are in relatively good shape. The power outages were minimum. I think everybody around here, starting with the mayor on down, and all the power companies have done a marvelous job. Having grown up in Texas, I can understand what they're going through. It isn't fun, but here it was handled very, very well. And when the underground system is set in place, I don't think, though there should never, ever be another argument, well, we can't have the Super Bowl in a snowbelt city, it won't work. It does work. It's working in Dallas to a degree. It'll work very, very well here.
Joe Bowling, could you talk real quickly about what the Super Bowl will mean for neighborhoods in this city hosting the Super Bowl? What kind of impact you anticipate?
Sure. I think we're already seeing some of that. It's really shined a spotlight on a lot of our neighborhood work, and we're excited to be a part of it. It's a chance to lift up a lot of the good work that have been done by Near East Side Neighbors over the last several years, and get a chance to give some of the due to some of that good work. So we're glad to welcome new homeowners into our neighborhood, new businesses into our neighborhood, and this is given more of a spotlight and a bullhorn on a lot of that activity.
Allison, I'd like to ask you real quickly. It's one of those questions I don't want us to spend a whole lot of time on, but we probably do need to, with the threat of of a shortened season next year and all of that, I figure we'll get it out of the way early. Do we have contingency plans? What are the contingency plans if the Super Bowl doesn't come off on the planned date next year?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're in very close touch with our partner, the NFL, on this event, and I am very confident that they are committed to getting the deal resolved and worked out by the time of our Super Bowl. I feel confident we're going to have a season and that we're going to have a Super Bowl. I know there's a number of press conferences going on down here in the media center, and the NFLPA had a press conference yesterday, again, stressing that their intention is to work out a deal prior to the 2011 season. The one thing we have done is hold additional hotels and venues for the weekend following our original weekend. Our date is February 5th. We have the dates held for February 12th, but we have every intention of executing the Super Bowl on the 5th.
How many hotel rooms do you have blocked out? I want to try to give people some idea of the scale of what this event is like. How many hotel rooms do you have blocked out?
We've got 141 hotels, and that totals to a little bit over 18,000 hotel rooms, and that is the average for the Super Bowl in the past several years. So we have the adequate number of hotels that we need to make sure we welcome all our guests appropriately.
And what kind of economic impact are we talking about here when we talk about 18,000 hotels? And I'm assuming that's two beds to the room and all of that sort of stuff. You're really talking about moving a small city into Indianapolis for the duration.
Yes, exactly. The NFL has told us to expect between 100 and 150,000 visitors to come to town for the Super Bowl. And the economic impact estimates from the last 10 or so years fluctuate between $125 million and $400 million. And this year, Texas is estimating a $610 million economic impact. Although now, with the storm that they've had down here, some of that, I think, will be affected. We have chosen not to pay to have a study completed, so we don't have a specific estimate for Indianapolis, but we're going with the NFL's range that they've given us.
We're talking about hosting the Super Bowl. And I'd like to invite listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881 or sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for joining the program.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to do it. You're the reason we do the show. So what question do you have?
Well, I was born in 1984, same year the Colts moved to Indianapolis. Or were moved to Indianapolis. And I think Indianapolis has a history of letting its sports teams kind of push it around. And that coupled with especially the news from the Vancouver Winter Olympics, where, you know, after all the confetti had settled, Vancouver was in a boatload of debt from all the fanfare. And even though there were thousands of people coming into Vancouver, they were left with debt. So they say having the Super Bowl here will bring, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people to the city. But after, like I said, all the confetti has settled, what will the debt be for Indianapolis?
Good question. Thank you for calling, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Allison, I'll give you the first crack at responding to that. I mean, is there a potential downside
sure.
to hosting the Super Bowl? Is there a possibility that we could be left holding the bag?
In reference to Nick's talk about Vancouver, I believe, and he may know differently, but all the reports that I've read about the Vancouver Olympics, the group that was in debt was actually the host committee. The host committee had to raise millions of dollars, and they are the ones that ended up with the debt. In our case, our commitment to the NFL was to raise $25 million to execute the things that we guaranteed as a city. All that money was raised corporately, and we have a budget that meets $25 million. At this point, the host committee is at no risk to be in debt following the Super Bowl.
So there's no exposure, no chance, obviously, that this could be an economic downside for us.
No.
Well, and again, I'd like to talk a little bit more with Joe Bowling a bit about what we anticipate would be the distributive effect. I mean, do you see having the Super Bowl? I presume there's a reason that you're involved here as part of the Legacy Project and all of that. What is the upside you see really for the organization that you represent and for the Far East Side?
For our neighborhood, it's been a fantastic shot in the arm, and we really hope the effects of the Super Bowl and the legacy that it leaves will be all good for many decades to come. I can honestly say that the work that we're involved in is the vision of neighbors, and there's nothing that we're doing today that wasn't planned within our sort of Near East Side grassroots vision and quality of life plan. And there's very few venues or new businesses or homes that are being created that are going to be saddled with debt, et cetera. It's just been really good work, and it's grown out of the vision of neighbors. So, again, I can't speak to the larger Super Bowl effort, but for us on the Near East Side, it's just been fantastic. And the folks that have volunteered their time and resources through the host committee have just been so generous and true to their word in every respect to be involved, but to let the initiative come from neighbors. And I think that's a pretty special thing.
Allison Millington, I'm going to let you have the last word here for a second. We'll let you get back about your work down in Texas. Could you sum up in, say, about 30 seconds, 10 years from now when we're looking back on the Super Bowl experience, what will have been its lasting impact for this city?
Well, without question, our legacy program on the Near East Side that Joe Bowling has been discussing is going to be our long-term legacy. There hasn't been a host committee in NFL Super Bowl history that has taken on as aggressive and substantial as a project as what we've got going on the Near East side. So for me, that's number one. Number two, I think the engagement of our community through the volunteers and the number of community programs that we have going on, it really is a community Super Bowl. And I think that will be a great opportunity for residents to always reflect back on the Super Bowl, similar to the 1987 Pan Am Games. I still see people constantly that say, oh, I volunteered at Pan Am Games, and it was a great experience. And that's what we're hoping for as well with the Super Bowl. So those two things will really be our legacy.
Allison Melanchthon, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck with your work down in Texas.
Thank you.
You are listening to No Limits right now. We are talking about the Super Bowl. We're going to take just a very short break. See you in about 60 seconds. Thank you. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We are talking about the Super Bowl. We're about a year away from the big day here when we host it here in Indianapolis in 2012. And we are talking now with Bob Lamy, the voice of the Indianapolis Colts, Joe Bowling, who is with the Bonner Community Center and the Super Bowl Legacy Project, and Gary Coons, who is the Chief of Homeland Security for Indianapolis Department of Public Safety. Mr. Coons, how are you doing?
How are you?
Doing very well. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Joining the program.
We just arrived in Dallas just a few minutes ago, so we're heading to our events now.
Good, 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 good. We've been talking really about what the impact has been, is likely to be for the Super Bowl. I'd like to talk a little bit about the work involved in getting ready for something like this. And I need to slip at some point into this conversation. I'll ask everybody to indulge me that my 9-year-old son is really excited about this program and excited. My son Ian is excited about having the Super Bowl here and wanted me just to mention on the air that he really hopes the Packers win this weekend. So now that that is taken care of, go ahead.
I'm from Pittsburgh, and I beg the difference.
All right. Well, fair enough. I'll let you and Ian argue that one out. So why don't we talk a little bit? I mean, we see it as a game, and those of us who are sort of spectators see it as a game and a fun event. But this is a major, major, major undertaking. Gary Coons, could you talk a little bit about what kinds of preparations you and your folks are going to have to make to get this city ready to host the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we are working with several of our federal agencies and also our state police agency as well to coordinate our efforts. We have over 17 planning committees that are looking at each aspect of the Super Bowl and what the role that they'll carry out during the Super Bowl and laying out what the resources will be, what resources they'll need, how much staffing that they'll need during each day of the event. The game is Sunday, but there's a lot of the host of other events that occur, pregame, and we also have to staff those, and we have to staff certain areas as you have the teams come in and where those teams stay, and then how you protect the players and you protect the coaches as they go from practice field to a hotel and to the actual stadium. So we have a whole host of individuals on each subcommittee that bring subject matter experts all together to develop a plan that when the Super Bowl is here next year, that we'll be able to run it smoothly, keep everybody safe, and let everybody have a good time. We're the organization that we try to and pray that we'll be the ones that will be in the background, just make sure everything's safe and everybody will have a good time and not really know that we're there.
Bob Lamy, you've been around pro football for a long time. How many Super Bowls have you been to?
Two.
Which two?
The only ones we're involved in.
Okay, so you were there last year, and you were there the year the good guys won.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Prefer the good guys.
All right. Which one was better run in your?
Well, they were both in Miami.
The same place.
They were both in Miami. The first one, the one that the Colts won against the Bears, weather on game day.
Yeah.
Really put the folks that had to deal with the players and the buses and everything, had to, they put them really under the microscope. I know my wife, when she left the game, trying to find the buses afterwards. The rain was hard. There was a lot of mud. It was bad on the field. It was worse in the parking lots. That shouldn't be that much of a problem here. Not that it won't be rain, but the fact that the underground way to get to and from the hotels and that kind of thing, and the fact that everything is located basically downtown. Now, right now in Dallas, the AFC team, the Steelers, I think they're practicing at TCU. That's about a 30 to 40 minute or mile drive over there. Mm-hmm. You won't have that here. So I think
which
that
is a relatively short hop in Texas.
Not in the ice.
Not in the ice. But
so it's an interesting situation. I found that the security was incredible at both games. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was done by the security people with the Colts for us, and they're here in Indianapolis, and hopefully we'll be in hosting the Super Bowl more ways than one next year, and that would be taken care of. But the studies that are being done in Dallas and the meetings right now are going to be ultra important because security, not only for the players, but for the fans, the officials, everybody who comes to town is going to be paramount.
Gary Coons, has there been a Super Bowl experience that you've sort of studied and said these are the things we should avoid? I mean, has there been a Super Bowl where there was a clear bobble or whatever that you folks are saying we're going to try to avoid doing that?
Yeah, we actually we went down to Miami last year and worked with their folks down there to learn how they kind of ran their Super Bowl, and we're down here now with Arlington, Fort Worth, and Dallas to see how they're running theirs. But we did learn down in Miami that there was a security breach back when actually the Colts won the Super Bowl back in 2007. That we want to make sure that we, on top of, we pay attention to. And of course, last year Miami did the same, and they were able to make sure that same security breach didn't occur. And we're bringing in a lot of security assets that are beyond just like we use for the Indianapolis 500. Even though the Indianapolis 500 brings in, a lot more people, it just brings in a lot more attention and a lot more notoriety to it, and it's all in the urban area within the metropolitan area of Indianapolis. So one of the good things that we see with our Super Bowl is that we have one police agency, we have one fire agency that we're working with, and then we build our capacity from there to with mutual aid and getting our other partners in and working with our federal agencies to bring in their resources as well. So we've done a lot of planning over this last year. We started over a year ago on our planning models, and now we're starting to really ramp them up. And we're talking with each host city to see some of their lessons learned, see what the best practices are, and then go from there. And we're working with the Colts as well to keep them informed as far as what we have. I mean, our hopes would be is that Indianapolis Colts will be in the Super Bowl next year, but we also are working with their staff as well to let them know what we're going through. We've invited one of their vice presidents to be with us down here as well so that we can all kind of understand what's going on and where we, what kind of resources we are going to have available to us and where we're going to be staging them.
I'd like to pick up on that a little bit more, but we are fortunate right now to have Mayor Greg Ballard with us on the program. Mayor Ballard, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And I understand you are headed on your way to Texas right now, so we've got just a short period of time with you. I'd like to ask real quickly, what will this mean, the Super Bowl mean for the city of Indianapolis?
Well, I think it does several things. One is it shows the world. The main thing it does is show the world that we can put on this sort of event. Even though, as was mentioned, we put on the 500 every year, the largest one-day sporting event in the world, and has been for decades. We know how to do that. But this is concentrated in an area downtown. It will show the world. This is not just a national event. This really is an international event. that draws a lot of attention. And so Indianapolis will get a lot of recognition in that way. And also a lot of the corporate sponsors that will be coming in, the companies that will be coming in, will see Indianapolis and see how it's connected downtown, how it's easy to move around. They'll see the hospitality. They'll see the teamwork, everybody working together. So that can only increase our opportunities for more business from these companies that may be wanting to expand. So I think it does several things for us.
How long are you going to be down in Texas?
I'm going to leave this afternoon. I'll come back Monday morning.
Okay. And what are you going to be doing while you're down there?
Well, there's several things I do. The main thing I really try to do, especially on Friday, there's a media room in there, and I'm able to get on a lot of radio stations across the city, across the country, that allows us to sell Indianapolis, and that's what we do a lot on Friday. Other pieces are,
where's your chauffeurs?
I've been able to look at security arrangements before and how they, you know, the logistics of putting the Super Bowl on. I do think our committee is on top of those things, honestly, and I think they know how they're going to work here in Indianapolis. Now, there's also a veteran event that I go to. Lee Steinberg hosts something for the military over in Afghanistan and Iraq, and I've been going to that the last couple of years, and I'll do that again this year to kind of connect up with those guys who are over there right now. So, and the one thing that's going to be good this year is, since they have ice and snow, I will be able to see the perception and what's expected, you know, from the league's standpoint and from the sponsorship standpoint when they deal with severe weather, and how as a city we can try to address those concerns ahead of time.
And let me ask real quickly. I assume have you been in contact with civic leaders, mayor of Dallas and Fort Worth area and all of that about, you know, trying to get some lessons learned or sharing experiences there?
Well, we do that pretty much every year. When we were in Tampa, we met with other mayors, and in fact, I met the mayors from Texas in Tampa. I remember that. So we tend to meet up at these, everybody who's in the queue for a Super Bowl. To meet with Mayor Leppert, Tom Leppert, in Dallas, I believe on Saturday in the afternoon, and so we can talk. We'll be able to talk then, and I'll just ask him frankly how he dealt with the ice. I know we have more capability up here in severe weather. But I'm sure he'll have some lessons learned for me, and that meeting will occur on Saturday afternoon.
What do you anticipate is going to be the biggest challenge for this city, hosting the Super Bowl, hardest part of it?
I think the overall organization, the smoothness of it, is what I'm most concerned about. I would say the host committee is, like I say, is really on top of this. When the NFL comes in and monitors the progress, they always say that we are ahead of the game. So that's I think that speaks volumes about Mark Miles and Allison and the team that they've put together. It's really just a matter of making sure all the pieces fit together at the right time. That's really it. I think we're going to be ready for the weather. If anything comes up, you know, the weather that we're experiencing right now is very rare. I mean, we haven't had anything like this in 22 years, so I'm not really necessarily expecting this. But if it happens, we'll be ready for it. But snow and that sort of thing, routine stuff, I think we'll be able to handle that very, very well.
We've gotten an email question that I'm going to ask you. I think you're best positioned to respond to it. It's from Catherine Platt, who says, there is a homeless person standing at every corner in downtown Indianapolis. When South Africa hosted the World Cup, they hid all the homeless people in shelters. This is not that Indianapolis will temporarily hide the homeless people during the Super Bowl, but are there any plans to alleviate the homeless situation prior to Super Bowl 2012?
Well, let's be clear here. Those people on the corners are not homeless.
Okay.
They're panhandlers, and that's their business. In fact, just a couple of days ago, I checked on the homeless and for the cold to make sure the shelters were still operating. So those are not the homeless. Now, what we if we're able to pass some more or the ordinances to make sure they're not there, then we will do that, obviously. We've been trying that for some time now, and frankly, as people know, it's a First Amendment issue. So we will try to do the best we can with them, but I don't want people to be under the impression that those are homeless because they're not.
And I'm going to let you go here because I know you're actually trying to get to the airport right away. But I will ask the question that just the sports bus. We've been talking about the business. Who are you taking in the game?
I get asked that a lot, and I don't think anybody believes me. It's like, I'm not that interested, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm a sports guy. I am. I follow sports quite a bit. But I mainly focus on selling Indianapolis when we get down there. But I will tell you this. I would like to see Aaron Rodgers erase the memory of Brett Favre in Green Bay. I think there's some friction there, and I think it would be a nice victory for Aaron Rodgers if Green Bay won.
Mayor Ballard, thank you very much for your time. Good luck. Good luck with your travels.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on.
Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. We are talking about the Super Bowl here on No Limits with our guest. That was Mayor Greg Ballard. We also have with us Gary Coons, who is Chief of Homeland Security, Indianapolis Department of Public Safety. Bob Lamy, who is the longtime voice of the Indianapolis Colts. And Joe Bowling, who is with the Bonner Community Center and Super Bowl Legacy Project. We're going to take a call from Monica right now. Monica, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Good to have you. Thank you for joining the program. Your question?
I'm curious to know what kinds of efforts are going to be made to reduce the environmental impact of the Super Bowl in the city. I've heard a little bit about recycling efforts. I'm curious to know what those are or will be, and if they're talking with Indigo and doing some other things for the event. And just for the record, I want to say I'm with Ian on cheering for the Green Bay Packers.
he'll be heartened to know that. thank you for the call, Monica. I appreciate it. Well, I'm assuming that probably that question might be better directed to some of the folks who are now off the line. Is there anybody who wants to take a stab? Are there things we could be doing? Gary Coons to
dial.
You know,
please check the number and dial again.
Oops, looks like we have lost Gary. Let me reframe this then a little bit. We've gotten an email question from Jim Brown, who says, how much money is being provided for the Legacy Project? Is there funding still available for organizations outside the John Bonner Community Center? That one probably would go best to you, Joe Bowling. Can you take that one? Thank you.
Each city does a Legacy Project for each Super Bowl, and so normally that's establishment of a kind of a boys and girls club anchored youth serving facility in sort of a high needs area, and that's typically sort of what a Legacy Project is. As part of that, and
how much funding is involved?
Typically,
that's
a $1 million gift from the NFL with the obligation for a host committee to match those funds and raise that an additional $1 million locally.
So it's a $2 million shot in the arm then for some.
So that's what a typical Legacy Project, you can kind of count on that. And so for a lot of different communities that have hosted a Super Bowl, that might mean that they'll maybe add a wing to an existing sort of Boys and Girls Club or establish a new center. We've really tried to take that to another level. And I think we got a call from a couple weeks before they pitched the Super Bowl from what was then the bid committee and Mark Miles, and said, you know, I had heard about this work that's been done in six different Indianapolis neighborhoods to develop quality of life plans. We like the idea of not just sort of working on sort of one project or development, but literally working with an entire neighborhood on the vision that they've established for themselves, and how can we be helpful in a variety of ways beyond just that sort of youth-serving facility. So to meet the criteria for what typical host cities do with the Legacy Project, we're certainly doing that and more at the facility, the Near East Side Legacy Center, that's being constructed at Tech High School, which is about a $10 million or $11 million facility, but then through a variety of other housing, economic development, and other programs, and developments. But again, just the $2 million, $1 million from the NFL, and then a $1 million match locally from the host committee is what you can kind of count on.
We are talking about the Super Bowl here on No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We're talking about the Super Bowl, what it's going to mean to the city, how ready we are, what we're doing to get ready. And we're fortunate to have as our guest right now, Joe Bowling, who is part of the Super Bowl Legacy Project for Bonner Community Center, Gary Coons, who is Chief of Homeland Security, Indianapolis Department of Public Safety, and Bob Lamy, who is the living legend, the voice of the Indianapolis Colts. Bob Lamy, I'm gonna toss the next question your way, because I think this is, we've been talking about a lot of the logistical stuff and really the economic kind of global things here. There's also, for the sports buffs who are out there, been this sort of history here in Indianapolis that we're a small market or a mid-market city with those sorts of franchises, and that even though both the Colts and Pacers have had some success, and as Mayor Ballard and others pointed out, we host annually the Indianapolis 500, one of the biggest spectacles in sports as well, that we keep bumping up against a ceiling at some level. Does this help us crack that ceiling? Does it get us started?
Well, I think so, yes. I can remember when the Colts won the Super Bowl, and I told my wife, maybe we can now get on the Weather Channel. And that seemed to work. Afterwards, Indianapolis suddenly appeared. And this Super Bowl, the way it will be hosted, the way it will be run, is going to give, whether it's sports or any other avenue here in the city, it's going to give the city and the state a tremendous boost. People, I think, right now understand we do host the Super the 500 and do a great job, better than any other venue in the world. Now you have to prove it again, and the city will prove that. And whether it goes to weather, whether it goes to sports, whatever, I think people are going to understand that Indianapolis is a major city. Maybe it doesn't have 10 million population. You don't need that to be a major city. The city is proving it day in and day out. And a Super Bowl will be run well. It will be a success. And once it's over and people are talking about what the legacy of the Super Bowl will be, I think the city of Indianapolis will now be considered among the better cities in this country, simply because we have proved again we can handle something that other people think we can't. Whether it's the, as I said, whether it's the weather, whether it's sports, once you've hosted the Super Bowl, your preeminence as far as cities in the country go rises. Just, you know, people will remember Super Bowl 40, 35, wherever. Many times they remember where it's going to be held. This one will be remembered, and hopefully it'll be because the first team to ever host the Super Bowl played in it and won. That would be the ultimate.
And let me ask a question, because you've been around the NFL for a long time, and we had been pitching for a Super Bowl for a long time. What were the obstacles? I mean, what kept this from happening for so long?
Look out the window. People who do not, who are not associated with the team, but are coming in here, mm-hmm. or going to Miami or going to Southern California or Dallas, they want to be able to play golf, or they want to be able to get outside and enjoy. And the perception is that you can't do that in a cold weather city.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember.
But hasn't Detroit's hosted one?
Yeah,
right?
And that was where I was going.
Yeah.
We wound up going to Miami, and the night before the Super Bowl, Don Shula was talking about what a tremendous situation this was for Miami, unlike Detroit, where the weather was just terrible. And by golly, Miami's going to show you. Well, the next day it poured down rain, and you're outside in Miami. You were inside in Detroit. Now some of the activities around the game were curtailed, as they are in Dallas right now. Nobody could foresee that, but it's happened. I think this city is prepared, and I think people are going to be prepared when they come here, and they're going to be finding out, if they don't already know, everything is so centrally located. You don't have to get a $50 cab ride to get from one spot to the next. You're going to be able to do it with relative ease. And the fact, I think the one thing that we were talking about before the show started that I think is going to be a major boost for this city, mm-hmm. the hospitality. People talk about Southern hospitality, and it's great, but so is this city. And some of us who live here kind of tend to forget that, because we don't come in. We don't come in through the airport, and we're greeted by people. These folks are going to come in and get the welcome of their lives, and they're going to, I think what the one of the major things might come out of this is that somebody's going to say, when is the next Super Bowl in Indy? And that's what you want. that will happen, I think, just simply because of the way people here in Indiana respond to outsiders and help. It isn't that way everywhere else. I mean, you travel around the league. There are cities you go into and, you know, I might want a vacation, but not here. And this city is going to be a place. I mean, you can come to see the 500. Maybe nobody has thought about that recently. Well, I've never seen the 500. Maybe
so the
I'll
cross-marketing
go.
Opportunities
sure.
at some level.
They're gigantic.
Well, and Gary Coons, I'm going to ask a question here real quickly. Allison Melancton said that the NFL had told the host committee that they really should plan to have 100,000 to 150,000 people come to Indianapolis for the Super Bowl. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about, something roughly the size of the Fort Wayne metropolitan area dropped down into Indianapolis for a 10-day period. What is it about that experience, since your job is to provide security and all of that, what is it that concerns you the most or scares you the most about the challenge of meeting? Gary?
Yes.
Yeah, having 150,000 people dropped into the city for a 10-day period, what is it that concerns you the most about getting ready for something like that?
You know, just having that many people in a small urban environment tends to play challenges with you, because you need to ensure the security is that we have everything in our eyes, looking at everything surrounding us. So that's where typically you have problems when you have large number of people in small areas. So from our understanding and from our research and from talking to other cities and talking to other cities that have hosted large events in urban areas, that's probably the biggest challenge is keeping your eyes and ears to the ground and watching for any threats and watching for anybody that just wants to take the good time away from the people that are there to enjoy themselves and basically take that fun away. So we want to make sure that everybody is aware of their surroundings, that situation awareness-wise, they're watching everything in and around them. But that's probably our bigger challenge. And I'm sorry, I'm down in Dallas now, so I'm kind of rustling around. That's why I'm kind of cutting in and out.
Okay, well, let me ask you a sort of a follow-up question here, and then we'll let you get to work down in Texas. And that is, are we looking at having to staff extra law enforcement personnel during that week? I mean, where are we going to pull the police that we need for something like that?
That's where we're going to work with all our partners, our federal agencies and our state law enforcement police department with our state police. And we believe we have the adequate number that we'll need to secure the area to make it safe and to work with everybody that we need to with the resources that they have to maintain a safe environment. But that's we have addressed that, and we've also looked at it from a resource perspective as far as maintaining resources locally. I think our bigger challenge would come if the Colts were to make it and we had to deal with playoff games, home playoff games, all the way to the end of the Super Bowl. There we're talking about a different challenge where we're moving in Super Bowl resources but still dealing with playoff games. Not that we don't want that. It just adds a different challenge to us.
Well, let me ask a real question here in terms of, and then I promise I will adhere to it and let you go after this one, but how many volunteers are going to be required to do something like this? Gary Coons.
From our end?
Yes.
You know, of course, everybody wants to volunteer from our end, but our bigger challenge surrounds, you know, security clearances, who's allowed and where, who's allowed to see what. So it's harder for us to manage volunteers other than like our reserve police force, and that's what we'll be, you know, relying
rely on as well, but we've done their security checks and worked with other agencies with reserve police forces as well who have also done security checks. So, but from our end, just maintaining the security level and making sure that we have, security checks on everybody that's going to be in and around the stadium, in and around all the critical spots of the Super Bowl, and knowing who they are and why are they there. We operate based off of a need-to-know policy. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just our world is we can't just provide information because people want to know. We can only provide information if they have a right to a need-to-know type situation.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for taking time for us. Travel safely down in Texas.
All right. Sorry again for the...
Not a problem. Thank you very much. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're talking also about the logistics of this. Bob Lamy, among other things, since we share the same world, the media world here, how many reporters and additional media would we be talking about descending on this city during the course of a Super Bowl?
Well, the actual number I couldn't give you, but it's gigantic. It's not only from the surrounding area, from the National Football League media, but media from around the world. Foreign countries will be descending here and sending people. Some folks are here to cover the game, some just to observe. But you're going to have a multitude of people coming in, and that is a group that has to be handled as well. I mean, the media, Mr. Kuhn's just talking about the security and who needs to be where. Mm-hmm. That is the major group that will be dealt with. I may get access to X, somebody else to Y, and somebody else goes from A to Z. And those clearances and those accesses have to be ironed out. And it's a gigantic undertaking. And I understand exactly what he's saying. The need to know is incredibly important for them to adhere to. Because not everybody, me included, needs to know exactly what's going on, where, and when. And that's for security reasons. And believe me, when I walk into an NFL venue, I feel secure. I have no idea what went on to make it such, but I feel secure. And I think the folks that come here, I know the folks that come here for the Super Bowl are going to get that same feeling. They may not know where it came from. They just know they're going to be fine.
Joe Bowling, you mentioned during the last break when we were off the air that there was an initiative that, in terms of conservation, that we needed to get mentioned during this program, and I promised that I would throw it back to you so we could do that.
Yeah, sure. There's a website that I think the host committee has established called firstandgreen.com that I think puts out a lot of the sustainability measures that our Super Bowl has taken. I'll mention just one or two more that we're a little more involved in on the Near East side, but there's an initiative to plant 2012 trees by 2012 Super Bowl just on the Near East side, and that's been a fun one to increase the tree canopy across the Near East side, and then another winterization program to help Near East side residents make their homes more energy efficient, which we hope to roll out here in a few months, called Better Buildings.
Bob Lamy, you've spent as the voice of the Colts, and I know you're not here representing the Colts, and I want to make that clear to our listeners, but I'm going to ask kind of an informed opinion here. What do you think the Super Bowl is going to mean to that organization?
The Colts?
To the Colts.
Well, it means a lot of things. It means that under Jim Irsay's ownership and with the city's help and the league's help, we have won a Super Bowl. Now we're hosting one. That's the pinnacle of where you want to be. The greatest thing could happen, and I understand.
If they win it, yeah. If they win it next year.
If we're in it and win it, that would be a first. Uh-huh. Dallas had a chance this year. They did not make the playoffs. So the Colts have the next chance to do that, and certainly they would like to do it. But I think it's the culmination. I don't want to use that word because the culmination is to win three or four more before all of us head south and retire or whatever. But I think it means everything to the people who work for the organization And in turn, that means a lot to the folks who live here, even the folks who really don't care about the National Football League or sports in general, are going to understand that a major event is going to be in this city. And if we run it as well as I know we're going to, it reflects on the city, it reflects on everybody, and it reflects on the Colts organization. Because Jim Irsay is a very well-respected owner within the National Football League, and people want him to succeed, and they want the city to succeed, and I think it will.
Let me we're coming right up to the end here, so I'm going to ask the classic sports question here. We got a big game coming up on Sunday. I think I know who Joe's going to pick, since he's already said, but I'll give him a chance to say officially, who do you like on Sunday? Joe Bowling.
I do like the Steelers, but I also add that for a lot of us on the Near East side, I mean, the Super Bowl is just the community development work that happens, and we try and prepare and focus on that work just as hard as those players and coaches as they focus to kind of win that big game. So the big game for us is working with some of those folks, as was mentioned a little earlier, some of those panhandlers who are in a pretty tough spot, even if they're not homeless, to make sure that they're warm and safe, and a lot of other community initiatives as well. But go Steelers.
Okay. All right. All right. Bob Lamy, who are you taking?
I'm kind of torn. I've always sworn that I wouldn't even watch the Super Bowl if we were not involved. I've failed miserably in that quest. I watch every year. I think my heart is with the Steelers only because it's another AFC team. I won't be disappointed if Green Bay wins. They're two great franchises. Mm-hmm. They're two great ways to go about things. And so if the Packers win, it'll be great for the league. If the Steelers win, it's great for the league. I'm just looking for a great football game, and I think we're going to get one.
Great. I'd like to thank my guests, Bob Lamy and Joe Bowling, Mayor Ballard, Allison Melanchthon, Gary Coons, and of course all of our listeners. Please join us again next week when we're going to talk about the life and legacy of the late Julia Carson. I'm John Krall. Thanks for joining us.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Allseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. Board Engineers, Matt Sosi and Josh Hamig. And intern, Savannah Rains. We invite you to join us each Thursday at noon for No Limits, and you can listen online at WFYI.org.